Good morning. You know it's a good morning when you wake. Well, I was up earlier than the rest of the family working on my sermon, and you hear all this cackling and giggling and everything, and all my girls are in our bed. All my girls, and you know you're blessed when you know, hey, we need to get a king size bed because our girls are growing and everything, and it's just so packed in there. But I don't know, that doesn't get your day started out good, since the bed didn't break and there was no Band-Aids, so it was good. But you also have to be in a good mood, too. It's a Sabbath, but spring, even though it snowed on spring day, the first day. And did you guys see the feast thing is out? Yep, it is out. And so you can check and see what sites are available. So everybody should be smiling. When I look out there, I want to see smiles everywhere. Okay, good. Well, if you'd like a title, a lot of people like to write down a title. And my title today that I came up with, Are We Coming Out of the Worldly Waters? Are we coming out of the worldly waters? This is beautiful feast and Ocean City. I recommend that spot. Very nice, Maryland. But we woke up almost every morning, and it is just so beautiful there. And we had great messages. But the waves and stuff are different there. They are not the same as the Gulf. There is a lot more power there. I mean, God has power, and you notice that. One day, Tess and I were playing the waves, you know, running away from them. Well, I'm not as fast as I used to be, and when I look back, we ain't going to get away from this one. So I grabbed her like a football, and it caught us, and I felt like I was in a washing machine, up, over, and I woke up, and I mean, I woke up, but I was on my knees, and she was right here still. Okay, touchdown, you know. But the one thing is, I'm not the greatest swimmer, and towards the end of the season, lifeguards were about a quarter of a mile both ways. And for me, they could have been a lot closer. They could have been right there, and I would have been happy. But because, you know, muscle doesn't float. So I have to. No, I'm just kidding. my wife's not here to keep me in line. Then another day, I was out there with Tessa. And we were just walking in the water, and I was only up to my knee, maybe waist deep. And all of a sudden, I mean, I could barely even walk. And I'm holding her hand, and I'm like, I let go, saying, man, I can't do. Oh, and she starts screaming, and I grab her. But it was a rip current that was bringing her out. But we were only like waist high. It was that strong. Well, the next day, if you can imagine an older lifeguard, red cheeks, weathered, silver hair, wearing a cap, you know, and the white block on his nose. And he had noticed that there was a major rip current right in front of our beachfront area. And he was warning every day, people, stay away, yelling and everything. I bought a big boogie board, industrial size. And I went down the way so I wouldn't get caught in it. But the waves gradually, slowly, you know, you're having fun, get you closer and closer to that rip current again. And so you had to really watch it and be careful. And then it happened. I was talking with Dennis and his brother, and it was kind of a blur. But I saw people running, like tall people, like Lori and other ones, towards the beach. And I was like, what's up? So I think, I'm not for sure, but I think I handed Farah to them. And I ran with my industrial-sized boogie board and out down there, and I was like, I mean, I will go in there, but they might have to save another person if I go in. But right then when I was ready to go in, I saw out of the sides of my eyes two colorful young guys jumping in to save them, and I was like, there's no way they could have got here. I mean, this was in seconds this happened, because some of the teens in our church group had, you know, you're just talking, you're playing, you gradually, just like we had, got sucked into it. And if you can, and a rip current, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but we had some technical issues, so we have to go this way, but it works. And it's a great job. But a rip current works where the waves come in, and you can see the arrows, and the light blue is where it's a sandbar. So it's shallow there, and then right where you can see the arrow coming back, there's a low spot. So it's like it sucks it out. If there was light blue all the way across, there wouldn't be that suction to suck you out. But that's how it works. The waves crash, and this area looks the calmest too, but it's really the most dangerous. Because because with the flow of the water coming out, it kind of dampens the wave. So it's like, oh, that's a neat place to play. Not really. But just so you could understand what a rip current is that was pulling on them. And now I lost where I was. But I was just saying, God had to have helped to get those lifeguards there that quick. And when I was watching it, it was just such a, when you know some of the teens that are out there, it was such like a helpless, it's like a scary feeling. It's like when you lose your child for a little bit, that pit of your stomach just, oh, what is up? And but they'd been sucked out, and it reminded me of how careless maybe I had been. I should have been more careful not to get close to that. But it reminded me of a verse. If we can turn to Revelations 18, 1 verse 5. Revelations 18, 1 verse 5. And I just keep thinking of that lifeguard. Big rosy red cheeks, a little hefty. And I don't know how many he could have saved if he would have jumped in. But he was warning the people. If you turn to Revelation 18, 1 verse 5, and I'll start off there. After all these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven with great authority, and the earth grew bright with splendor. He gave mighty shout. Babylon is fallen. So the society, it's falling and stuff. And if you'll skip down to verse 4, and in the middle there it says, come away from her, my people. Come away. I just hear that lifeguard yelling that. Come away from my people. Do not take part in her sins, or you will be punished with her. For her sins are piled high as the heaven. That's pretty high. And God remembers their evil deeds. I don't know, it just calls out to me how much, even though that lifeguard, out of love, he might have seen someone who had drowned in a riptide before, but how adamant he was to keep telling people, stay away from this area. Just like God warns us over and over when we're reading the scriptures, he's yelling like that. We can just read over it, or we can read it and hear the true urgency that is coming out of this message. And this is the time of year, unleavened bread, in a couple weeks, you know, right now we might start cleaning and putting out that leavening, putting out those sins in our lives. And I just think of 1 John 2:15 and 16. It gives us, hey, what is this world? What is this that we want to be coming out of? God, Satan's get society and our give society. But if you turn to 1 John 2, what is this nasty water that we're trying to get out of these riptides? What is it consisted of? And 1 John 2, if I can find it. Verse 15, do not love the world. Do not love this worldly waters, these oceans like this. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but of this world. The lust of the eyes, the wrong desires, whether it's for something good or it's a wrong or bad. It's a wrong desire, rooting those bad desires out of our lives. The pride of life, and are we thinking our knowledge is smarter than God's? Are we relying on our own, our money, our own physical things? Or are we putting it all on God each and every day, a little bit more faith, and rooting out that pride and becoming more humble? And just to reference this first, to be thinking, this is what we want to be coming out of. And in the Holy Day booklet, it goes through kind of some steps, the points about days of unleavened bread, and their exact steps of how to come out of this worldly waters. And through prayer and God's help and understanding, we must recognize and expel and avoid sin. Recognize, expel, and avoid sin. Those are steps, little steps. You got to recognize that sin. You got to work on expelling it and then try to avoid those sins. And then the booklet went on, the Feast of Unleavened Bread is a time of personal reflection. Where am I? Am I close to one of these riptides? How far out in the water am I? And to really think about it, honestly, ask your mate, where are areas we can come out of this world more? My attitudes, what am I thinking on? My attitudes, my conduct. Am I asking God to help me recognize these? Please help open, in a gentle, nice way, God. Please, not every single thing in one day. So I'm overwhelmed, but ask Him to show you those shortcomings. Because we have to seriously look, especially we're given this time, to look at ways of coming out of the worldly waters, coming out of these rip currents, these temptations, these sins, and that want to pull us away from God's truth, from the church. And we have to have an urgency, because you can hear sermon after sermon, you can read over this, but we got to remember, this is our chance. There's no turning back. And it reminds me of there was a general, one of the Vikings or something, that when he would go into battle, he would burn the ships behind him when he would land. And he's like, this is it. You fight. We can't retreat. And once we've put our hands to the plow, there's no turning back. And how the urgency is to keep coming out of these waters because of the spiritual ramifications. Also, turn to Luke 21, verse 34, if you would. Luke 21, verse 34. I just thought this was such a powerful analogy. Anybody that's been caught up in that current and they can feel that, they understand. But that's Satan trying to pull on us each and every day, trying to distract us and say, no, come and just play in the waves. It's not going to hurt. Come a little farther. But the New Living Translation put it like this. So it might not be exactly the way it is in the King James here, but I liked it. It says, "Watch out!" with an exclamation mark. Watch out. Don't let your hearts be dulled by carousing and drunkenness and by the worries of this life. It's so easy to get off our focus. Oh, work. And when's the last time I really did good Bible study? When's the last time I did this? No, Bible study, then work, and everything. You can get things out of priority. Don't let the day catch you unaware like a trap. Don't let that rip current catch you. You're just distracted by the world, and all of a sudden, you're trapped. For the day will come upon everyone living on the earth, and keep alert at all times, and pray that you're strong enough to escape these coming horrors and stand before the Son of Man. If we pray, God promises He's going to show us a way out, a way to get out of these riptides, these temptations and stuff. But we have to resist. We have to do our part. We have to resist and heed His warnings. We can't forget how dangerous it can be each and every day in the world. And we have to keep, especially this time of year, God wants us to refocus on meditating. And that's hard for me to meditate. I mean, my attention span, so I have to really focus on just meditating and praying for God to help us to come out of these worldly waters. And I think going by a fireplace, I was with my girls last week, and just that kind of calms you down out in nature sometimes, and just to think. And sometimes when my girls leave, I actually go up to the dunes up in Michigan City and just do studies up there, and that kind of seems to calm me down. I'm wore out by the time I'm up on top of the dune. So then just calm and just you and God just thinking about where I need to work on things and how can I come out of this world. And but if you turn to the next slide, until we look around, sometimes that sense of urgency, until we look around us and think about who was here last year that isn't here right now. And this is a picture of the current. I'm sorry. We'll go to the next one. I should have had this. But one second real quick. You can see the rip current. And from up here, if you're in the water deep, you can't see that rip current. So the deeper you are in it, the harder it is to see where you're being tempted. If you're up closer to the beach, because we can't come totally out of the world, we're going to have our feet in it. We're supposed to be a light. But we can maybe see a little bit better where are those rip currents. But I just thought this was kind of a neat little area where you can see where the dark, cloudy water is. And it's actually a little calmer. And it just draws people to go there. And actually, it's the most dangerous. But you can go to the next one. But I was talking about there's people here. There are people that are not here this year that were here last year. And you're like, man, they were such strong swimmers. Or they were a minister. Or they were such a strong member. And when we were at the feast in Kauai, there was a sign really similar to this. This is from another beach in Kauai, and it talks about the rip currents on this beach. Warning, do not go near this water. These currents have killed, and it marks off all the people. And on the sign that we saw, it actually had names of people. And people still go in. And that's what you could see, God getting frustrated, or these signs and saying, I've given you these words. Really take it. Look around who's not here and work on our spiritual foundation. We need to keep evaluating ourselves and say, how deep into the water really are we? And because the deeper we are, the more that rip current is going to have, or those temptations are going to have on our lives. Whether it's the music, because we were just talking, songs. Sophia can, and Tessa can memorize them, boom, 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 boom. And Satan can use those, because in messages and songs, they get into our brain and they just stay. Or movies. Are the movies that we're watching, are they bringing us into the water? Are they taking us out? And there's a balance. But it's little things, these little subtleties, how you're just slowly, the waves just keep getting you closer and closer to that rip current to be bringing you out. Examining our time. Is it all work? Or are we thinking about, hey, well, how are ways that we can serve each and every day? That little ways. And our conduct. Are we working on being more self-controlled? Because I was talking this message to Sophia, and she's like, this kind of really dovetails with your message on self-control. If people had self-control, they wouldn't get in. And I'm like, you really listening? Oh, great. But that, it's good. I mean, that's true. A lot of times we can look back, and a lot of times we can make it out of these rip currents. And you don't always die, and you don't always get pulled out of the church. But there's ramifications for going deeper into the world. Like, We had actually saw another person who got caught in a rip current, and we yelled at the lifeguard, and they went out and saved him out in Panama City. Luckily, Sue thought they were really dying and drowning. I said, no, they're just yelling. They're just talking. So luckily, Sue said, no, you need to go tell the lifeguard. And they were saved. But we found out later, when we were at another church site, that those people, they had lived, but they had pneumonia. The salt water had got into their lungs, young kids, and they were in the hospital for a week. Or there's ramifications. You're exhausted after you've gone through a trial, a sin, and you haven't had the time to devote to your Bible study. And it can weaken us, whether it's through pornography, which can change our brains, the way we look at our wife, the way we look at other people, whether it's alcohol, which can be good, but it can be overused. It can be too much of a desire for. Whether it's bitterness that can root inside of us and pull us right out of the church. Why did this person offend me? Why? And that goes back to humbleness. Satan wants us to be bitter and not root out that bitterness. But I just keep thinking about that lifeguard yelling and us preaching and setting the right example. We can't totally come out of this water, but we need to be letting our light shine. And in Isaiah 49:6, you don't have to go there, but just write it down. Isaiah 49:6, it says, let your light shine. And I just thought about Tessa, and I'm sorry, I give family examples. Sophia, we had a birthday party that was before Sabbath was over. And I was like, well, we have to wait until after Sabbath, but it was at the Y. They were going to get to swim and stuff. And I was like, no, we'll wait. So I got her there, and right then they were getting out of the pool. And they were leaving the Y. And but she didn't complain. She just gave me the towel. And all the kids asked, hey, why didn't you come early? Oh, I was at church. But that's letting your light shine, little things. And I know other teens, it's so hard for they have sporting events. Or us with work that is just trying to drag us out and say, no, this time it's okay. But it's a chance, still being in the water, to let our light shine. And to notice that when our children do it. And to say, that was an awesome example. And when others do that. Satan sometimes is subtle. And sometimes it is just all out. Like, it pulled Sophia right out of my hands, and I was like, luckily, she yelled, and I grabbed back instead of, oh, find your own way. No, but it's weird how when you're panicking and it's pulling, you're like, hey, somebody's holding me back. But they can be subtle, and it can be pulling you. And how can we work on that so we're not pulled out by that rip current? We have the Bible, which is like our study manual. And before you go into an ocean, who does this? But you should, like the world. It doesn't study the Bible that much. You should understand, what when I'm in the ocean, what can affect me? How should I act if certain waves affect me? And it was neat after that last feast, a couple feasts ago, where we'd seen some people that had actually drowned, that you start to study it a little bit more. Okay, how do we avoid it? And it's to swim horizontal with the beach instead of fighting it, and to do that research and let it just flow out with it, because it's not that wide, the rip current, and then you can get out and then you can swim back. But it's like the Bible gives us a manual, and we need to be reading that. Proverbs is full of it each and every day. Like, flee fornication, run from it, don't get around it. You know, and if you have a problem with the internet, just stay away from that part of the internet. If it says, don't hang around an angry man. He's going to bring you in and going to get you in a fight, and other issues are going to happen, and you're going to get tied into that riptide. Or don't become unequally yoked. That is such a hard pull. If your wife doesn't want to come to church, or your husband doesn't want to come to church, I've never had to go through that, but that's a pull. Oh, let's not go. But God gives us a warning. You can do it and make it, but it's a hard pull that some people can't make it out of. And the deeper we're in these waves, the more control. And it reminds me of Scripture, 1 John 5:19. 1 John 5:19. 1 John 5, verse 19. And it talks about here, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And you can just think of the water, the swaying. And the deeper you're in the water, the harder that sway, that current has on us. And we have to keep evaluating, not just once a year, but all the time. How far am I out into this world? How much am I letting it affect me and dominate me? And am I being a slave to it? If you're being dominated and controlled by, you are. And it's a time to think about, right now, Jesus dying for us and freeing us. And are we going back to it? But I was thinking about this. And if these world's deeds and this world society doesn't shock us, if it doesn't shock us, we're in too deep into the water. And I say it's a mother-in-law test. And it's indicting myself. Sometimes, have you ever had a movie, or you had your parents over and you had a movie and didn't think it was that bad of a movie? It was pretty good. And then your mother-in-law or your mom said, and it's like, oh, yeah, this isn't the best movie. I kind of didn't even hear all the language that was in it and everything. And it's like, it's a good mother-in-law test, a good mom test and stuff like that. It just reminds you, or other people say, hey, this movie's too far into the water. I shouldn't be watching this. And but it also goes to, if you turn to Genesis 19, verse 16, and Sodom and Gomorrah. And you think of Lot and his wife, and how she yearned to go back to the rip currents, to the ocean, to the water. But in chapter 19, I'm sure we all know this, but Abraham was talking to God. If there's just a couple righteous men, will you not destroy it? You know, he's praying, he's helping, please don't destroy. And so he'd sent the angels there. And in verse 6, it tells you, you're too deep into the world and you're being too much affected. Verse 6, when Lot went out to the men who were at the doorway, and he shut the door behind him and said, please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. See now, I have two daughters. I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please let me bring them out to you. So instead of the angels, you're like, here, take my daughters. And it's like, why not just pray and ask God to protect us and not even off? But he's way too deep into it. And then if you skip up to verse 15, and the angels are saying, let's get out of here. And when in the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, arise, take your wife and your daughters who are here, lest you be consumed by the punishment of the city. And while he lingered, It's like, I just think of somebody in a rip current, and a lifeguard's coming out to save him. And he's like, this is kind of fun, just floating, just kind of going out. And, no, I kind of like it here. No, you're going to die. And he's like, the man took his hand. I can just see the lifeguard grabbing him and taking him and saying, took his hand and his wife's hand and the hands of his daughters. And the Lord being merciful to him and brought them out of the city. But down in verse 26, but his wife looked back behind him after Sodom and Gomorrah had been destroyed and became a pillar of salt. Look back to that. I think of a polluted ocean. You see some of those oceans where the trash is all there, or God gives the analogy of going back to your sins and stuff. It's like going back to vomit. So imagine vomit water, going back to that and saying, oh, I would rather go this way. I know it's graphic, but we got that's there's a glossy outer that looks so beautiful, this world, and it's Satan makes it tempting to want to go back to it. But also, this chapter here, it reminds me of something that we all need to keep focusing on. And you can just write this down, James 5:16, that effective fervent prayer avails much. And he had gone to God and, you know, prayed and talked to God and about saving these people. And because of his goodness, Lot was saved. And you think about these people that aren't here this year, that have been led astray, that are keeping Christmas, that are not coming to church at all, and are being drifted out. Are we fervently praying for them? God says our fervent prayers can avail much, and it's going to be their choice to come back, but praying for them. Keep them in your thoughts, especially this time. I just think of that thought of when I saw those teenagers being brought out, how my stomach was like, ah, what can I do? Pray. And that can make a difference. That can make a difference. But this feast should be pumping us up spiritually to make these changes, this spring feast, and to be rooting out lust of the flesh, the materialism, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Not be focusing on our own strength or our own money, because sometimes the United States is so wealthy compared to any of the other world. It's easy to say, oh, I've got enough money, I've got enough other things, and not be really saying, no, all these are from God. And all these can be taken away. We need to put all our faith in God and simplify our life. There's so many distractions. It's so easy. It sounds so easy. Just think about ways we can simplify. Take away one distraction and keep our focus on staying close to the beach, staying close to God, staying close to the foundation, and working hard on preparing that spiritual foundation. Because it is so easy for people to be deceived and to be drifted away, that if our foundation isn't strong and if we're not working really hard, let's turn to Philippians 2:12. Philippians 2:12 real quick. I know I'm wearing out your fingers, but there's so many good verses and that are just yelling out to us, especially this time. Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my absence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both, to will and to do His good pleasure. We've got to put in that time and fear and trembling and think when we're focusing and studying the Bible. Study it like you're going to come up here and give the message. It's like, think about, it might be even an exercise to do your own Bible study. How would I present this? Because that's what we're going to be doing in the kingdom. And they say, if you really want to learn a subject, study it like you're going to present it. Are we studying it like we're going to present it at church? Are we studying it like that? Because that's going to be our job. And with fear and trembling, to really truly understand these warnings and take heed to them. Or are we reading over them? Are we just reading over the warnings and jumping back into the water when the lifeguard goes by? Or like Israel kept going back to idolatry, and then the lifeguard or God would save them, and then they'd say, oh, thank you, God. Or after the trial's over, it's like, oh, everything's good now. I've got money. God got me back a job. Good. Now, I'm starting to drift back into the current. It's so easy if we don't keep our focus. In conclusion, when it happens to someone, like, you know, your child, your mate, your brother, a friend who was sitting next to you last year, it really wakes you up that it could happen to anybody. And when I think about those three kids that went to this church that could easily not be here right now because they had got sucked out by those riptides, it really wakes you up and saying Satan's influence is just going to get stronger and stronger the closer to the end time. And we have to be preparing spiritually to be stronger and stronger, not to be pulled out, and be focusing on how are we going to use the fruits of the Spirit. How can we apply them? And how can we have more of a service, righteous attitude each and every day? Think about how much are we in the world? How much are we in the world? How strong does Satan's grip or his rip current have on us? And when you look at this, these people underestimated the rip current. They didn't think they were that far out in the water. They were probably strong swimmers. They underestimated it. And like I said again, the rip currents, God's Satan's influence, are just going to keep getting stronger and stronger. Let's take this time to keep finding ways to come out of this worldly ways.